Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about hold your position. Holding your position, we're going to be taking a look at this story from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about King Jehoshaphat and how the people are under attack, and God tells them, stand firm, hold your position, because the battle is not yours. You're going to see God's deliverance today if you just hold your position. And that message is relevant for us today, because our positioning is supposed to be in Christ. In these daily communion meditations, we often talk about getting positioned in the light, holding that positioning, abiding in Christ, being positioned in the light, being one with Him. That's our positioning. And when we take that positioning, God fights the battles for us. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves, to get ourselves positioned in the light, to be positioned correctly before we get into our time of communion for today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, for this opportunity to be positioned in the light. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through our other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. And I'm just thinking about this a lot today, because yesterday I was traveling, and I had recorded ahead of time our daily communion meditation, so I didn't record yesterday. And talk about this idea of holding your position. Take your position, hold your position, sustaining your position. I didn't record yesterday. And I could tell a difference in myself of not going through this the way that I normally do on a daily basis. Holding your position, sustaining that position. Every day as time moves forward, another day. We got to keep repositioning. Every day when you wake up in the morning, you got to keep repositioning yourself back into the light. It's got to be done every day. As time moves forward, time and space are connected. Got to keep repositioning every day. So let's talk about this positioning in the light. We're talking about positioning today. God has released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. That transfer, it happens through the forgiveness of sin. So the first part of the positioning is staying positioned in forgiveness. And that forgiveness has to be received from God. It's got to flow through us. And then we got to give it to other people. So receiving it from God, one of the first steps, everything we receive from God, we receive from him by faith. Forgiveness is received by faith. Forgiveness is a great expression of faith. One of the greatest and easiest ways to receive from God that expands and opens us up to receive all God has for us is just positioned in praise and thanksgiving. So to be positioned in the light is to be positioned in forgiveness and in praise and thanksgiving continually. That's how one of the ways we hold our position. But that forgiveness has got to flow through us as the second level, which means we have to forgive ourselves. We often hang on to things we've done to ourselves, beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. That grace and forgiveness and love has got to flow through us. And then it's got to flow through us out into the world, to other people, to give other people that same grace and forgiveness that God has given us, to get positioned in the light, to hold our position, to abide in Christ, to keep our eyes and hearts fixed on him and stay positioned in praise and thanksgiving and forgiveness. And then we move on to our second fundamental, which is we have to magnify that light. To magnify it is to make it bigger and brighter and greater on the inside of us. And we're all magnifying something in our lives. And it's either light or darkness. We're all magnifying something based on what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're meditating on and rolling over in our mind continually. And whatever it is that we're magnifying is going to grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. And Jesus says, be careful that the light that's within you doesn't become darkness. Be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. God gives us the choice. We can magnify light or we can magnify darkness. To magnify light is to magnify God and his greatness and his love, his steadfast, unfailing love, that nothing's impossible for him. To magnify his faithfulness, that he's always on time, he always fulfills his word, that all of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. To set our minds on the things above, the things of heaven, where God is working for our good, to think about and meditate on whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. We can be magnifying these things over and over, rehearing them, keep talking about them, keep thinking about them. And they begin to grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. And remember this, whatever you magnify begins to magnetize. As you begin to magnify that light, it begins to pull more and more of it into your life. As you find one thing to be thankful for, all of a sudden you find more things to be thankful for. You see God working in one area, all of a sudden you see him working in more and more areas. It begins to pull more and more of God into your life. But the alternative is we can magnify darkness. We can talk about the problem, roll it over in our mind, all the darkness, all the evil, all the issues and problems, all the frustrations, venting, complaining, gossiping, talking about the problem over and over. And that problem just grows bigger and bigger on the inside of you. You can feel the pressure increasing as you do that. Now, this is not to say that we're not going to have issues and problems in life. But it's turning the tables on those issues and problems, turning them back around and bringing them into the light and saying, you know what? God's with me. He's for me. Nothing's impossible for him. We're going to see here an example today, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 of Jehoshaphat doing that. They got a major issue coming. They got a huge army that's coming to destroy them. But they choose to magnify God instead. Now, also keep in mind, we have to get good at recognizing what we're magnifying in our life. We have to get good at recognizing the symptoms. So what are the symptoms? When we're magnifying the light, everything is easy and effortless. Effortless growth begins to happen. Bad habits just begin to fall off of you without even trying. It's light and free and easy. Your energy levels begin to rise up. Your faith begins to rise up on the inside of you. usually get positioned in thanksgiving and forgiveness, and on the backside of it comes that peace that surpasses all understanding, that joy of the Lord that is your strength. God's working everything together for your good. And it's equipping you and empowering you to do what you can't do in your own strength. When we're magnifying darkness, it feels heavy and oppressive, like there's no way out. A lot of pressure to conform to things. It's usually the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety and the frustration and the disappointment and the insecurities, and all these things begin to creep in. The dread of the future. All these things begin to creep in. Those are our signals of what we're magnifying. And it's learning to recognize them quickly. You're going to have times. We're all going to have times where probably the problems and issues come and we focus on them too much. Learning to recognize that. And the good news is, it only takes 1 second to spin it right back around, to give it to God and start praising him and thanking him for it. Just takes 1 second to get it turned back around. And then as you get positioned in the light, that peace and joy are flowing, that faith begins to rise up. And it's almost like it just urges you or compels you to begin to take action. Which leads us to our next fundamental, our third fundamental. What do you know to do today? What do you know to do? Not the things you're unclear of, not the things you're uncertain of, not the things that you don't know what the next step is. What do you know to do today? Often we get caught up worrying about all these things we're going to have to do later. What do you know to do today? What can you do today? And do that. That becomes your plan for the day. It might be some little things, some administrative things, some things around the house or in the workplace. Maybe there's some things that God is prompting or stirring you to do, or some things you've been procrastinating on for a while. That becomes your plan for today. And do those things that you know to do today, but do them trusting that God's with you. Do them positioned in the light, that God's with you, that he's for you, and trusting that he's going to be equipping you and empowering you. Because Jesus said himself, it's not me who does the work. It's the Father in me that does the work. And learning to trust and rely on him to flow through you to do that work. And your indicators are what? That peace and joy and that effortlessness as you execute these things. Like the pressure is off. Those are your indicators that that's happening. And then our fourth fundamental is staying tuned into his leading and his voice throughout the day. As you get positioned in the light, you start magnifying that light. You start taking action on the things that you know to do. It's something like tuning a radio receiver. They get you tuned into the frequency of God. And all of a sudden, your ability to hear his leading and direction and voice in your life begins to greatly increase. And he begins to lead you one graceful step at a time to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. And one of the most important things I think we can do in this is begin to record our journey. Just begin to, every day, take a few minutes to get still and reflect back on the day and just ask this very simple question. God, what was it you're trying to teach me or show me today? Take a few minutes, just get still and listen and begin to write down whatever you hear. And just begin to do this day by day. You can be amazed at where God begins to lead you. So let's take a look at this story. I was going to put it on the screen, but this is a lot to put on the screen, several paragraphs. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat. He's surrounded by a huge army, Moabites, Ammonites, Munites. They've all come to attack him. They don't know what to do. They've got a major issue. Their whole way of living is about to be destroyed. Everything they know is about to be destroyed. Major problem. But they choose to magnify the light. Jehoshaphat turns to God and he prays and he says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. Notice he's magnifying how great God is. And no one can withstand you. Our God, Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Now notice, what's he doing? He's recalling what God has already done. Sometimes the greatest way to gain encouragement in our lives is to look back at what God has already done in our lives. One of the greatest ways to gain encouragement. Our people have lived in this land and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear and save us. So when the temple that Solomon built was dedicated, Solomon prayed this prayer that he's quoting right here. So part of this is we need to know what God has promised to do. If we're going to magnify the light, we're going to magnify his word as part of magnifying light. We forgot to talk about that today. Magnifying his word. God had promised, or Solomon had prayed, and God answered his prayer, saying that he was going to do this. He would protect it. The people would turn to him and pray to him. He would protect them. But then Jehoshaphat says, but now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. So he's saying, hey, when we were on our way to the promised land, you would not let us touch these people. And now they're trying to come and kill us. Now they're trying to come take this land from us. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as our inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's a great prayer right there. Putting God in remembrance, looking back and seeing all God has done, reminding him and reminding yourselves of his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him, reminding him what he's promised. And then saying, you know what? We're powerless to do this on our own. But with you, nothing's impossible. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're going to magnify you. And all the men of Judah, with their wives and their children and their little ones, stood there before the Lord. They're all waiting on God. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph as he stood in the assembly. So Asaph was the guy who was in charge of all the music, I believe, in the temple that David had prescribed. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Some versions say, hold your position. Take up your position or hold your position. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord that he will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all of the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Israel, of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now notice, what are they doing? I want to go back here. One of the versions of this verse up here, it says, believe in God or have faith in God, and he will establish you, basically. And it says, believe in his prophets and you'll be successful. It says, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. They're starting to praise and thank God for this victory. They have no chance of winning on their own. They're believing and they're trusting in God. As they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, and they looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies on the ground, and no one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Barakah, where they praised the Lord. And that's why it's called the Valley of Barakah to this day. Then you're going to see here that right after this happens, it says that God gave Jehoshaphat peace and rest on every side. Gave him peace and rest on every side. So we see here, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Stand firm and hold your position. Believe in him. Keep trusting in him and praising and thanking him, magnifying that light and what he's promised us. So Father, we're just so thankful. We're going to take communion over this. We're so thankful for you. That in Christ, the battle's already won. The battle's already over. You've already fought the battle for us. We can stand firm and take our position in him. To be positioned in the light and to keep magnifying your word and your goodness and your grace, your faithfulness, your unfailing love, Lord. We don't always know what to do, but we can put our eyes on you. And we're so thankful for you in our lives. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it, receive it." That he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. We can approach him with freedom and confidence to find grace and mercy and help in our time of need. Father, we're just so thankful for this bread and for you were willing to send your one and only son to die for us, that Jesus was willing to go through that for us. So we can be connected back to you. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Think about the cup of God's wrath, all of his fury and anger, all the ways people had missed it and turned away from him and not followed him. All that was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus. So now we can have the cup of his blessing. That all happens through the forgiveness of sins. Father, we're just so thankful for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. Keep an eye on our four fundamentals today. Hold your position. Keep staying positioned in the light. Stay positioned in the gratitude and praise and thanksgiving and forgiveness. Keep magnifying the light. Magnify his word. Magnify his greatness. Magnify his unfailing love and his faithfulness. Magnify his promises. Stay tuned in to the symptoms. What am I magnifying today? What am I magnifying? And turn it back around quickly if you're off track. Keep doing the things that you know to do today. Trusting and relying on God to flow through you and equip you to do them in his strength. and stay tuned in for his leading. Now notice, God's word came to the people and he showed them what to do. Stay tuned in to his leading and his voice as you go throughout the day today. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.